My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back early to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is James. This is where we talk about all things Star Wars. So this is exciting. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. It's cold in California right now. I mean, it's going to be like 41 degrees tonight. And that's pretty chilly. I'm not used to that. I've gotten used to the California weather. So I'm not used to like when it gets chilly. So it's a little cool, which is why I'm wearing my long sleeve Star Wars shirt. And nice. I like this shirt. It's a weird shirt. It just says Star Wars on there. And it has this weird design on this. And then it says, May the Force be with you. I like it. I think it's cool. It's really strange. But today was the day to wear the Star Wars shirt. Hello. We got people watching on YouTube already. The Bender is watching on YouTube, so that's exciting. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, nice.
And but before we get started, David, we have to thank our patrons, right? Before we get started.
Yes, of course. Our top tier Patreon supporters out there, you probably all know them by name: Hayden Hauser, Darth Ace One, Liam McCallan, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Devin McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel, Fenrir 526, Maya Morris, and Maka Tautala. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast on Patreon, on Facebook, commenting on YouTube, liking, subscribing, all that good stuff. And also, I'd like to thank a sponsor of ours. It is Dragon's Lair at Alamo Ranch. Ray just recently gave me a nice stack of comic books to read. And if you're ever in the San Antonio area near Alamo Ranch, give them a visit. This is actually where I met Dominic Pace for the first time in person.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I got to hang out with him, and it was really cool. If you're there, ask for Rose. She's really cool too. I did a 501st event there, and that's when I met her for the first time. Really cool person. They own it outright. There's a few Dragon's Lair, I believe, franchises out there, but this is independently owned by Rose and her husband. So
nice.
Go check that out if you're ever in the area. So
before we get started, Bender just gave us a really great comment, which is, not to be mean, but when I listen to you guys, I thought you looked different.
That always happens, man.
That makes me so much happier. I don't know why.
In a good way or a bad way?
I hope it's in a good way. I hope he's like, oh, they look so much better than what I thought. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But thank you for listening to us, and thank you for seeing us for the first time. All right. I don't know what it was, but Lucasfilm all of a sudden this week was like, hey, let's start dropping stuff without any warning. And that's what happened this week. We got, oh, thank you. It was in a good way. Don't worry. we got some pretty good news this week, and we didn't, you know, it just came out. So we got the trailer and we got the poster and the trailer for Tales of the Empire, which looks awesome, and I'm glad they're going this route. I'm really glad they're doing these stories. These stories are so good. I love it. And it looks like it's gonna be really cool. The trailer looked really awesome. What did you think? Do you think it's another slam dunk? Because everyone liked Tales of the Jedi. Tales of the Jedi was very successful.
Well, here's the thing. When I saw this poster at first, I thought we were going to get a story for each individual big-time character on this poster. Mm-hmm. But apparently, we're not. We're going to get, I think, 3 episodes with Morgan Elsbeth and 3 episodes with Barriss Offee. And the Barriss Offee thing is terrific because we've been waiting like a decade.
Yeah, everyone's been wondering.
Out yeah. What happened, you know?
Well, what happens after the whole thing goes down? So, yeah, mm-hmm. This is really cool, and I'm glad that Filoni is going this route. He's telling us these stories. Maka just said, so it seems that they will do Tales of the Rebellion, First Order, to Resistance. That is what I am waiting for. I am waiting for Tales of the Rebellion, because I would love to see a Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Leia centered episode. I think that that's a slam dunk. That is, that's the easiest thing to ever happen for Disney. If they did that, people would love if they did something like that. And who is under Thrawn in the pick? Is it Palpatine? I don't know. I really can't get a good look at who's under Thrawn in the poster. But I know we got Grievous.
Really close. It almost looks like a Togruta.
Oh.
Because you see like the head tails.
Okay, yeah. I will say seeing Grievous in this animation was pretty terrifying. Like he looked pretty scary. So I'm really excited to see that. Zach comes in clutch. I want an Ewok centered episode. I think we all do. No joke. What was that? I know that it's not a joke, but from a certain point of view, they did a few chapters of Ewoks, and some of them were pretty good. So I wouldn't be surprised if they would do that. So yeah. But yeah. Oh yeah, that would be amazing. A rematch. That would be something. And I'm gonna say this right now. I think killing Morgan was a mistake. Killing her off in Ahsoka, I don't think was a good idea. Cause I mean, you had a great actress. You had a great character that you could grow with, really go into detail with, you know, with her, the Night Sisters, and then plus she's the actress herself is a martial artist, so those fights, that's her doing those fights, and it looked awesome. And then I was like, oh come on, man. That was like my biggest critique of Ahsoka, was they killed off Morgan Elsbeth pretty soon. I want to see. Bender says, I want to see Vader in Clone Wars animation. And yeah, we only got him a little bit there at the ending of Clone Wars, so it'd be really cool to see, you know, him a full episode of him in the Clone Wars animation. But yeah, I think everyone's excited for this. Just looking at the comments here in our chat here, everyone seems pretty excited about this. I think it's because everyone really liked Tales of the Jedi. I think that was a big success, and Filoni, I think he just slam dunked that with, you know, and so we're just waiting for this one.
Yeah, and we're getting it on May 4th. And that's something that we've been talking about on the podcast for years and years now, that Star Wars needs to do more stuff for the probably more so official holiday than unofficial holiday for Star Wars. And fans are expecting something, and this is a great thing to get. It comes about 3 days after the last episode of Bad Batch Season 3, which is the very last season of the Bad Batch. So I'm kind of feeling like it's not going to end too great. And there's going to be a few days of mourning there. And then we're going to get this to kind of cleanse the palate, maybe. I don't know. That's just kind of my thought.
After this last week's episode, you might be onto something, because that was rough. That was...
I actually haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers. And we actually haven't reviewed it yet. We're going to review it, I think, next week.
That's right.
Our Bad Batch review team. So, I heard it was really dark, and
it's very dark.
The first episode's actually kind of shocked, because those were very dark, and I was like, "Wow,
I love."
Yeah, it's kind of taken that turn, kind of how Clone Wars did, how it started off kind of very, very like PG and went into PG-13, almost like bordering on like past that territory. So, yeah, I mean, it's called Star Wars. So, yeah. I mean, you got to see
We're getting some stuff, man. Like, there were some things that I was like, good grief. Like, this is pretty dark for a show, even for Star Wars, you know? And so I'm what Bad Batch is doing right now. And I think you're onto something. I do think it's not going to end well. I think we're going to lose some people, and it's going to be very, very sad. But yeah, I think Bad Batch ends. We get this just a few days after that. And Maka on YouTube just said, I can't get over the animation. It's so great.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Talking about Bad Batch and talking about Tales of the Jedi and Tales of the Empire. Like, the anime is so crazy how we criticize this animation. At least I did when it first came out back in 2008. I mean, you got to remember, we were all just kind of like, this is not Star Wars. It was a cartoon. This looks so weird. But that animation style has become synonymous with Star Wars now. So, and we all love it. And it just got better and better and better over the years. And so, yeah, this is, it's pretty good, pretty exciting. So I'm excited for Tales of the Empire. Everybody watch it so that Dave Filoni gets the green light to do Tales of the Rebellion. And then Tales of the Resistance, Tales of the First Order. Like, I want to see all of that. I think that would be something really cool. Mm-hmm. Man, they could, man, we could see Anakin when he was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, we can go deep, further back with Anakin on a Tales of the Jedi. You know, like, we could, there's so much they can do with this stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm not the biggest animation guy in the world, but I would be in favor of kind of filling out all the gaps in Star Wars. If they don't want to do the live action thing, if they don't want to do the movies, if they want to move on, fill it in with animation. I'm fine with that. You could still get the voice actors from live action to do it, like they got Ian McDiarmid to do Palpatine. It's really good. In the style of Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire, that would be fantastic. And as time goes on, the technology is going to improve as well. So, I mean, it might get to the point where, I don't know, with like AI these days, I mean, the technology is just getting ultra realistic. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So before we go on, we got some comments. Raymond says Vader's lost missions. Like, we can get a Vader set show where it's just.
Yeah, I'd rather that be live action.
Oh man, you say all that, you're like, actually, this one's more live action.
I would take the animation. I mean, so much time has passed now that it's like you're gonna get the. I mean, it's a tough kind of fine line to walk, I think, because mm-hmm. Star Wars is moving in a different direction than wanting to kind of just tell the tale of Vader. It feels like they're really trying to broaden what they want to cover. And going back to Vader, I mean, I can see how it can get kind of tiring in an aspect and overused. I mean, Obi-Wan Kenobi season 2 possibilities are out there, but it seems like Ewan McGregor is saying in the press that he wants to come back as Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And he's very open about it. And he says he's telling us the truth and that he hasn't been notified by Disney that there's going to be Obi-Wan season 2. What would you think about an Obi-Wan season 2? I know we talked about it in the past, the podcast, but Ewan McGregor brought it up again.
I mean, I enjoyed parts of season 1. It wasn't the best. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Andor. It was still really entertaining, but I where it ended and how we get to A New Hope and the relationship Obi-Wan has and who he is, I think it's fine. I would like to see a Tales of, you know, the Jedi with Obi-Wan Kenobi, with Liam, with Qui-Gon Jinn training and him communicating with Yoda. That's the thing with these Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire thing, is that you don't have to do an entire season. You don't have to do these long, you know, 8 episodes, try to fill it in. You could just tell, boom, this story, boom, this story, boom, this story. And you get the point across and you're in and out. I think that's, with Obi-Wan, I'm okay with that. I don't think I would be okay with a season 2, because the showdown between Vader and him was pretty great. And the ending, that last line was pretty good. So I don't know. That's my personal opinion. Y'all can all get mad at me for that. Some people say it wasn't their favorite. Zach on Facebook, it wasn't his favorite, but he still enjoyed it. Ewan McGregor did great, which he did. Ewan McGregor was incredible. There was that close-up of him apologizing. And I remember I was like, oh, this is like acting. Like, this is like a serious performance in Star Wars. And for me, that's perfect. That's just, leave it there. Don't go on anymore. But that's my opinion.
Yeah. So Star Wars is 4 years older than me. And for a long time, when you said Obi-Wan Kenobi, maybe up until, I want to say, maybe 2010 or so.
Mm-hmm.
When you said Obi-Wan Kenobi, I thought of Alec Guinness. Mm-hmm. I don't think of Alec Guinness anymore.
Nope.
I think of Ewan McGregor. That's the only person I think of.
That is crazy. That's a really crazy statement to say. That.
And when you look at Ewan McGregor, it feels like he's aging into what Alec Guinness looked like. And he stated that, yeah, I'm getting closer and closer to Alec Guinness's age, so it'd be perfect to play him at some point right before he, or I know it's like sacrilegious to say, but what if they redo the original trilogy?
Okay, we're going to move on. We did get a comment from Maka who said the Mando movie's coming in 2026. That is correct. Mandalorian and Grogu is going to be released May of 2026. And I called it way back when that May was when we're getting the Dave Filoni. Oh, at the time, I think we all thought it was going to be Dave Filoni directing it. But no, it's Jon Favreau directing this. But yeah, I had a feeling they were going to do a summer release for this because it gets back to Star Wars. It gets back to the original May release, you know, and that's pretty good. That's pretty pretty exciting. And I mean, how do y'all feel about the title? I know that title has gotten a lot of criticism. Some people are really upset that it's so simple, but I kind of like it. I think,
it's fine. It could be worse. I mean, it flows enough. I know it's kind of weird to have the title of the title be the two main character names, but I mean, if you don't call it that, this is the best way to draw people in.
Yeah, you put Grogu's name, you put his face on a poster, that's $1 billion right there. And Disney knew that, and that's why they called it. That's why they called it Mandalorian Grogu. Yeah, I know a lot of people are disappointed by the title, but I'm excited. And I think this movie is going to be so good. And it comes out May, so we're going to be getting that. I wonder if they're going to do that classic coming to your galaxy this summer, Mandalorian and Grogu. Like, they're going to do that old-fashioned poster from back in the day as a teaser poster. That'd be really, really cool.
I doubt it.
You doubt it? You don't think they're going to do a teaser poster like that?
Well, I thought you were talking about the old trailer.
Oh, no, not the trailer. Okay. That trailer was really bad. It's amazing that people got excited. I mean, that's great, but that trailer is really bad. Oh yeah, it's gonna be May. But yeah, May? What was the exact date? It was May 22nd, was it?
It is going to be out. Yeah, May 22nd, 2026.
I'm a genius. What can I say?
And
2 years.
Yeah,
it's gonna be here sooner than you think. So, I'm excited for this movie. I think everyone's excited for this movie. Everyone loves Mando. Everyone loves Grogu. General Kenobi's here. Hello there. And the fact that we're getting another Star Wars movie, like that's gonna be great. It should be May 4th. Yeah, I agree. But I can imagine Filoni and Favreau wanting to get. classic Star Wars release date. We're laughing because somebody commented, "I hate Grogu," which we all know he's just joking. There's no way you can hate Grogu. I got I have a Grogu poster right here above my computer, right there. Him. It just says Star Wars, and it's him in the middle, and it's perfect.
Yeah, I have a multitude of Grogus behind me.
I mean, God, I know we talk about it a lot, but good grief, man, Favreau just. He knew exactly what Star Wars needed, and he delivered. And we got this character that's just taken over the whole world, pretty much. And it's so crazy. Like, people call it the Baby Yoda show. You know, like, people, it's so crazy how well it all worked out, you know, for Star Wars.
Star Wars needed that. It needed that next big pop culture zeitgeisty thing, and Favreau delivered.
So Zach's reason for hating Grogu is he's too dang cute. It's sickening, which is very true. He's a very, it's so adorable. So adorable. And aren't they making a Rey movie? Yes. That movie is still going into, it's still going. Last we heard was they are waiting for the script from the screenwriter, I believe was the last piece of news we received. Cause I think somebody said he left the project, but he was like, no, I haven't. I'm still writing still writing it. So yeah, that movie is still going forward. We're probably, that movie's probably going to be the December 2026
right.
release.
And Daisy Ridley is publicly making it known that she would want John Boyega to return back as a Jedi.
The two of them on the poster holding lightsabers. That's good. That's really good for Star Wars. And we were going that way, and then they just kind of, I don't know. I'm excited to see what we get with that. But it'll be pushed back to 2028. I mean, who knows? I know Iger is doing his best to steer. I think we're finally getting out of it, but I think he was just heavily just bogged down with the pandemic. Like everything the pandemic did was pretty drastic for Disney. So I think finally we're getting to a stage now where it's like, okay, we're going to get these movies out and they're going to be on time. And I don't know. And Kathleen Kennedy hasn't, I don't know. You know, I mean, I trust her to get a movie out. If anything, Disney would be the one to push it back. But I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think she's ever been like, we got to do this because this is not working out.
Yeah, there's rumors of another strike happening, but I haven't heard anything lately about any other possible delays for any other films. But
yeah,
the news that Lucasfilm Disney puts out can change on a dime. CinemaCon is happening, I think, this week, and Disney is going to, that's how we have the information that May 22nd will be the Mandalorian and Grogu film. They're going to do a big presentation at CinemaCon and tell everyone publicly, I guess, that all these films are going to come out in specific dates. So hopefully, we'll probably get a little bit of Star Wars info. Mm-hmm. Maybe nothing new, but look out for all the articles about that. It's
be pretty dope in Vegas if we get that that Rey film title. Like, that'd be pretty crazy if they actually dropped the title for the Rey film.
Although yeah, that might be something that they hold for Japan.
Really? You think they're gonna hold that all the way until Japan?
Well, I mean, they're kind of notorious for holding out until Celebration for certain things.
Yeah, because we didn't know the Rise of Skywalker title until that the trailer dropped.
Yeah.
Empty Promises. Yeah, I know, and we've talked about it before how Disney they told Marvel and Lucasfilm just whatever you're thinking about doing, let everybody know. And so there a lot of those projects had no like script or really like anything. They just said, "Oh, we're thinking about doing this," and they're like, "Yeah, do that." Tell everybody that. But yeah, there she is, Daisy Ridley, who, by the way, is doing a great job right now, acting and producing. Like, she's doing tremendous work now, so I'm really happy for her, and I'm excited for her film. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's gonna be really cool, and so do you think we'll get the release date for that one? Like, they're finally like at this, they're finally got to say, okay, 2026 May is Mandalorian Grogu, and then December is the untitled Rey film.
I think that's the only way it can be.
Yeah, that's
because the two films in 2026, then one in 2027, which should be the Origins of the Jedi film.
Yeah, which, by the way, they just announced that they're going to be bringing on a screenwriter who has written already for Star Wars, and his name is Bo, right? I think it's Bo Williamson, which I should have done my research before this, but he is the creator of House of Cards, the original House of Cards, and they shot, that was the original shot in London. which they then made the American version of it. And then he also, yes, Boo Jackson. And then, and he also wrote three episodes of Andor, and he wrote the episode One Way Out, which is just an incredible episode. That's the one, in case you don't remember it, that's the one when Andy Serkis does his speech about getting out, and then the next one is when Stellan Skarsgård gives his speech about what he sacrificed. And
that was great speech, man. I can't believe he wasn't nominated for anything.
I can't believe half of that cast wasn't nominated.
Like, did he win any awards?
It didn't win. I think it won something for stunts. But
well, no, his performance in any award show. There's 20 award shows.
No, I don't think he even got nominated.
Man, that was.
But yeah, him and even Fiona Shaw. Like, I thought she was gonna get something because she was incredible.
She blew me away.
Yeah.
I didn't know that she had that type of range and gravitas.
I showed my wife that last bit when she gives the speech, and my wife was just could not take her eyes off the screen. And she said every time she repeats the line, but we were sleeping, and she was like, "This just gets chill. It gives me chills the way she delivers that line." I was like, "Yeah, she's." It's amazing. So yeah, so he will be writing the helping James Mangold write the Dawn of the Jedi, which we still don't know, but we know that that's kind of what it is. Man, 2 years until release date. I hope that's enough time. That's enough time. I mean, mind you, I hate to say it, they're probably going to shoot it on the whole thing on the volume. So that takes about half. That splits your production principal photography right in half, doing it in the volume. What, you don't think so?
I don't know. That would make a lot of fiscal sense.
Yeah.
To save that money and then to make more profit, which I think there's a lot of big budget films being made and they're not recouping their money back.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people dislike the volume because they claim they can tell when it's shot in the volume and they can see the seams. I really can't. I don't really pay attention to that per se. I think I can tell if it's volume stuff, not only because I know when they're shooting in the volume and seeing all the behind the scenes stuff and read up on stuff, but I think it's fine. It's not that big a deal to me. But I don't think they're going to shoot a lot of stuff in the volume for Daisy Ridley's film. I think it's going to be primarily
not for Mando's film is probably going to be shot on the volume. I don't think Daisy Ridley's is going to be. I think they're going to go to London, probably to the studios over there, the studio space they have over there to shoot those. I know Acolyte was not filmed at the volume. They built sets, went out to location, got that footage, and so it's a funny thing where it's like, man, do you use it or do you not use it? Does it take away from the magic? Can you even tell? It's just a whole thing. But for me, I think it's a great tool. And something George Lucas probably would have killed to have back in 1977 when he made A New Hope. So yeah.
Yeah, but to answer General Kenobi's bunker's question there, if it's enough time, I think it is because I think they're going to start shooting immediately, any moment now they're going to start production. And I think we covered that. I just forgot the month. I think it's maybe
May,
June?
I remember there was the whole March discussion that they were going to start production of one of these things in March, which maybe happened. But I think May and June is also what I heard as well for these to go into production, which you shoot most productions last about 30 days, maybe 40 days if it's a long production. But start shooting in May, finish principal photography by July, do your reshoots in the fall, and then you have almost a whole year for post-production. So I it's enough time. I think it's enough time. Do you guys think there'll be a Book of Boba Fett season 2? And no, I do not think we're going to get a Book of Boba Fett season 2. I know we're going to get Boba Fett in the Mando and Grogu movie. And I think we're going to see that story and we're going to see that, but I don't think we're going to get a whole second season. It wasn't well received by the masses, I don't think.
Yeah, I think everything's going to be rolled into the climactic film between all of the Mando TV shows. They're going to kind of probably end it in Mandalorian and Grogu. And if that makes a lot of money, if that's super successful at the box office, then of course we're probably going to get sequels. They'll probably make it into a trilogy. And I think it'll do great at the box office. I think this is what they should have done years ago, actually. So, I think season three should have been the movie. But we'll see. Season three ended in a way where they could go anywhere and do anything. So it had that whole Looney Tunes ending with Iris in. And it's Mando and Grogu. It's almost like a reset. They're back to kind of season one, just going off on random adventures. I mean, they can do a lot of stuff. But you figure Thrawn is going to play into this movie heavily.
Because he's already made his way back, you know, to the known galaxy that we all come to love. So it's pretty crazy how big this story could get. And I am all for it. I am ready for what they're about to do with this whole story.
I'm too. And speaking of new stories, we are going to get The Acolyte on June 4th, not May 4th, June 4th. And Empire Magazine has some new covers here. If you're watching us on YouTube, Twitter, X, Facebook, you can see the cover here posted. So have you memorized all the character names yet?
No, I have not. Have you?
No. I'm going with Chewie's cousin, Trinity, Amanla, and... Squid Game guy. Yeah. So, no, I think the Wookiee's name is Kel Neca.
Mm.
And I don't know if anyone in chat knows the names. The character played by Carrie Ann Moss with the green lightsaber is not Zack Snyder. I know the names are next to her. But, yeah, she's carrying a green lightsaber. I think there was discussion early on that she wasn't going to carry a lightsaber, but yeah, she clearly does. So, but yeah, clearly it's Amanla Stenberg. She's the main character, and of course, it's the end of the High Republic.
Oh man, this is so exciting!
And one of the things that I don't like about this is the fact that these episodes are not going to be. I mean, it's going to be classic, which is not great to say, but. TV, Star Wars TV show runtimes, which is like 30 to 40 minutes long. So, and we always talk about things on the podcast that we want Lucasfilm to change. We want Star Wars to change for the better. Mm-hmm. They've listened to us a lot. So if we keep on saying we want at least hour long episodes, maybe that'll change, because we spoke about it for years that we want more stuff on May 4th. We're getting that. We talked about how they need to release these shows during the day. We're getting that with The Acolyte. It started with Ahsoka. So, yeah, these are going to air during the day. I guess, what, 6 p.m. Pacific time?
I'm having fun over here. I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, we need our line. And this is only going to be, what, 6 episodes? Is it 6 episodes or 8 episodes?
I think it might be just 6 episodes.
So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff to show us and to tell. And, I mean, I don't want to compare Star Wars to other franchises, but, I mean, other franchises do give us hour-long episodes, hour-plus.
It just almost feels like Disney is scared to do that on Disney Plus, because even the Marvel episodes are not hour-long, you know? It's just like, why are they afraid to do that? And it just, and it doesn't really make any sense. Will they ever release the series in groups of 3 or 4 to make movies? I don't know. Like, I know if they were going to do that, Mando would have been the one to do that. But I know that, you know, with Andor, how the season was set up, we had 12 episodes, and each 3 was pretty much its own movie. And so I liked that style that Andor did.
And
it was really good, too.
So ever since the beginning of all these TV shows for Star Wars, we were all at that point, I think, or most of us were looking at these TV shows as long form films, which they are, like 6 hour long films. But now it's like, okay, well, they're TV shows. And like I said, other franchises have hour long episodes. Mm-hmm. And there's enough depth and story and world building to do that. And yeah, that's just the big question. Why don't they do that? I mean, you figure it's because of cost. It's because they're just trying to really get this, get these shows out as fast as possible, I believe. So, I mean, what other reason could it be? But I think storytelling might be also a factor, because Star Wars has that rule that everything live action is the final and ultimate canonical thing that you see of the grand canon story of Star Wars. So that might play into it as well. Tim Seitz is in the chat. How's it going, Tim? He said, did you see the Boba Fett appearance in X-Men 97? I didn't. I've only seen the first two episodes of that show, and it's really good. But I haven't seen the last couple or however many they have dropped.
Animated Boba Fett, Disney just released all their May the 4th Be With You 2024 pins, because, you know, I live next to Disney, so I still get.
Oh, they did? Anyway, well, I have a lot of them.
It looks like they are embracing the holiday special look, and they show Boba Fett, and he's
you in have some. Pink.
No, I don't know. I'm just saying the picture. They released the picture of it, and Boba Fett looks like the holiday special Boba Fett, and it looks really funny. And I was like, wow, they're actually, you know. But we all know, because they celebrate Life Day, you know, in Star Wars, and then at Galaxy's Edge, if you go there, there's Life Day stuff, which is really, really funny. And are you looking it up? Are you looking at the pin?
Yeah, I don't see anything. I just did a search, and I don't see anything with the Boba Fett. But
actually, I take it back. It wasn't a pin. It was a cup. There's a cup, I think, if you spin it, you see.
They've been embracing the holiday special for a while now. I know Colin bought the robes.
Oh my, yeah, they went to Galaxy's Edge in those things. Gosh, those dudes are crazy. Yeah, I bet you everyone was looking at them all confused, because they don't understand that, they don't get it, they don't get the reference.
Well, I mean, primarily they're in Galaxy's Edge, so
yeah,
I mean,
true. What are you talking about? You mean Star Wars Land? Just kidding.
Yeah, Star Wars Land.
Get a life day. Am I right? Thank you, Zach, for keeping us.
Yeah, Zach is actually in Japan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Hopefully, we're going to buy our passes here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, that's pretty exciting.
So yeah, a little news on that. I got another second job again. So I'll be able to buy all that stuff and prepare for Japan, hopefully. Hopefully everything works out.
And then according to David, in Japan, we are going to get the title of the Rey's Star Wars film. So,
yeah, don't hold your breath on that.
I don't know, man. You sounded like you knew what you were talking about with it. Like, you sounded like this is...
Yeah, I don't have any inside information or anything, or any sources or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure they're going to give us announcements and hold off on announcing things just so the people in Japan can get it first. So,
you know, I think because you said you don't have any sources makes it more obvious that you do actually have sources on the inside. I'm just going to throw that out there.
So. Yeah, I don't. I don't have any. Well, I mean, I don't have any sources on the inside for that information. But,
oh, okay.
I know some things. But I think everyone can kind of know the things I know if they really dig deep and hard and talk to people and network and that type of thing.
Talk to people in like back alleys and parking garages late at night. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Fair something enough. Like that. No. No, it's just kind of a reading.
Yeah.
And
message. I'm just kidding.
And it surprises me. It surprises me a lot that a lot of people just don't do that, you know, like talk to people. But I mean, there's a lot of people that claim they know stuff and they really don't. You just gotta, the key is to find the people that actually know. And sometimes it might sound fantastical and unbelievable, but mm-hmm. when the stuff turns out to be true, it's like, okay, well, I can trust this person. There's a few people like that. And I don't know how that's even possible, but I mean, it's just one of those things. It's a mystery, you know?
Zach has a good point. Why talk when we have the Force? I met two Star Wars fans this week, and it was amazing at how much how different their views are on Star Wars. One guy said there's only three Star Wars movies. The prequels don't even exist. And he goes, the sequels, they're not even movies.
Right.
And I was like, wow. And then another guy was like, George Lucas made 6 movies. That's all I'm ever going to watch. It's crazy. It's really crazy how people's views. And
so I made a tweet last week. I sent out a few tweets, and one of them, like,
you made an X.
I X'd it. And one, it blew up. It took my shock and surprise, and I'll put it up on the screen here. If you don't follow us at Stuff Pod on X, do it. I type, has your opinion on the sequel trilogy changed over the years? And I think this was like one day after I posted this and the screenshot. And it just got 46,000 views. It got 99 likes, which is kind of uncommon for our handle there. But yeah, a lot of people started talking about this. And that was just kind of like an internal question I had, because you hear people, you see a variety of different fandom for the sequel trilogy on the internet. Usually it's the younger people that embrace the sequel trilogy more. But there's a lot of positivity for the sequel trilogy, and there's a lot of middle ground and then negativity as well, as you would imagine. But overall, when you look at the entire thread of all the responses and so many people commented, it seems like most people's opinions haven't changed, because we've spoken about this a lot on the podcast, how when the prequels were released, after a little bit, they weren't met with that great of fondness like the original trilogy, because a lot of people that grew up with the OT were expecting that in the prequels, and they didn't get it. And they didn't like that, and they kind of sounded off on them. But then over time, it seems like the prequels have become so beloved, and the hype for the prequels was insane. We've talked about it so many times on the show. And I like the prequels, but they did definitely grow on me more, to the point where I love a lot of aspects and have a lot of fond memories of going to watch those films. And that's why I was wondering about the sequel trilogy. Has there been enough time for some people's minds to change? And it seems like it really hasn't been that long enough. It seems like people pretty much have the same opinions as they did when they first saw the film. So that was just something I wondered. So has it changed at all for you? Have you grown to love them more? Are you the same?
I'm about the same. Okay. I appreciate them. I mean, I think slowly I appreciate the story of how it's the next chapter in this storyline, in this Skywalker saga. But yeah, the more time passes, the more I just kind of look at each of the trilogies as just this is your beginning, this is your middle, and this is your end. And I for me, looking at it as a book, feeling, you know, that's great. Fanboys, great movie. But yeah, I look at Star Wars now as a book, as a 3-act book, and then how the first book you're like, oh, this is the story of the father, and then the next is like, oh, this is the story of the son trying to redeem the father, and the next one is, oh, they, you know, this is now the story of the man passing the torch on, because now that the threat they didn't really take care of, now the threat has grown, and now we have this next generation having to take care of it, and how each of them feels different. Each of them has their heroes and their villains. And yeah, the more I look at the sequel trilogy, the more I appreciate it as a whole in the Star Wars saga. And I'm still a big fan of it, man. As you can tell, I mean, I got my hat, I got the posters in the back, and I know I tell
my
people,
hat on too.
Yeah, I tell people I like the sequel trilogy, and I get a lot of people just like, "Oh my, how can you call yourself a Star Wars fan?" I'm like, "That's kind of rude, all right." Like that's I've had that. Somebody asked me that question. How can you call yourself a Star Wars fan? You like that? I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "Yeah, I do. Yes, I know Zach. I know." In case I don't know, Zach just said you're so negative. But But yeah, I posted a video one time on TikTok. It was one of those things where it's like you have the movies on the side of your head and you switch back and forth to like, oh, I like this one, I like this one. And somebody got mad at me because I paused between, I think it was like Phantom Menace and Rogue One. And they're like, how could you pause between those? And I was like, well, because I like both of those movies, you know, like, and that was what it was. And they were like, okay, he chose this over this. His opinion doesn't even matter. And it was really shocking to get that. And one of my friends was like, you're like one of the biggest Star Wars fans I know. Cause she read the comments and she was like, I was really surprised. I was like, yeah, it's just some Star Wars fans are, I don't know. But what about you? Has your opinion completely changed on the sequel trilogy?
No, I think it's still the same. I mean, I there's aspects that I really like, to really love. Going into it, I thought The Force Awakens was going to be my least favorite, mm-hmm. but I think it turned out to be my most favorite. And just the whole energy and the vibe leading up to that one movie. I mean, 2015 was just a year that was cooked for me because it was only about Star Wars.
Yeah,
that was the only thing I thought about that year.
Me too.
I mean, the only thing.
Yeah, and it was bizarre because it was like, is it really going to happen? Is it really, are we really getting a Star Wars movie?
I knew it was going to happen because I have the Phantom Menace experience and that happened. And that I was even more cooked then than I was than that year for me, than 2015 was. That 1997 leading into 98, then 99. Oh my gosh, dude. I was on the internet every day. going to high school every day and just
kidding,
on our T1 line, just looking, bringing up these web pages like super quick. And it was wild. I couldn't believe that. I mean, looking back at it, I'm not a morning person. I don't want to wake up early. And I was waking up early for that, like every day. Waking up early just to go to school, it was weird, but
yeah. I still remember it was after school one day, and it was like a year or two before the movie even came out, and there was a commercial on, and it was like, and getting ready for the new Star Wars movie is the battle droid speeder, and it was the battle droid flying on the thing, and I remember seeing that and being like, I was like, wait, we're getting Star, like there's another Star, and they showed the logo, and I was like, that was it. I said, I cannot believe we are getting another Star Wars movie. And cooked, is that a new slang? I was at
it's
work
my
today
slang.
I was at work today, and this guy, he kept saying, he's like, hold on, let me cook. Like, he just kept saying that.
Oh, yeah, so that's funny. The new slang. Yeah,
yeah, it was so, because we were
that whole Filoni meme. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
I think I have it somewhere.
After watching the animation, made me love one too. Yeah, I've heard people say Clone Wars really saved the prequels. Watching the Clone Wars, seeing those gaps filled in. Mm-hmm. A lot of people said that's what made the prequels so much better. And plus, like Colin's generation, I mean, those guys, that's what they grew up with was the prequels. So for them, that is the best. That is the best, you know. So. And then in about 10 or 15 years, this generation, the young kids now are going to be saying the sequels were the best, you know. So it's just, don't criticize people. Do y'all say frosted like they do in Star Wars? When did they say that word?
I have no idea.
Zach, are you messing with us? Did you just want me to read that on
live?
You seen that video, right, where the girl has to say happy birthday? Never mind. Anyways. but yeah, that's a good question to ask.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Asking, like I said, I talked to two people this week, and they both had two different opinions about Star Wars, and it was just, I was like, wow, okay. And he was like, I liked The Force Awakens, was okay. Last Jedi, don't even talk to me about The Last Jedi. I never even said a word to him about my liking for The Last Jedi. Like, we just started talking about Star Wars, and then he was like, don't even talk to me about The Last Jedi, because I never want to. That's not even a movie. And I was like, so yeah, it's really it's really interesting. It's really interesting to hear people's opinions about Star Wars. And for me, and I always say this all the time, I'm like, it's still Star Wars. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, I can't believe you would be mad at somebody for liking the same thing you like. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense, because we can all agree that Empire Strikes Back's the best one. You know what I mean? Like, that's the end of the conversation. I'm just kidding. Uh-oh, David's. I think David's looking up something right now. He's trying to find that meme. In my opinion, The Rise of Skywalker was all right. You know, I like The Rise of Skywalker. I like the way it ended. As you can tell, I'm wearing the hat. Wearing the hat right now, and I was wearing the shirt the other day. Rise of Skywalker is a great conclusion to Rey's story, and I think it's pretty great. And then Raymond says Jar Jar rules. No joke. If I see a Jar Jar toy, I buy it. I don't know what it is. It's just something about Jar Jar. It's like, I need to buy. I have the Episode 1 toy up there of Jar Jar. And there's a really cool shirt now with Jar Jar. It's just his face. And I'm like, I need that shirt. Okay, did you find the meme?
No, I didn't. I wasn't looking. My controls just disappeared. So I was trying to figure out how to get them back. I got them back now. So.
Oh, it looked like you were hacking something. Over
I hit the key on my keyboard and like everything just disappeared.
Yeah, we were. But, never mind. I'm not going to say that sentence. But anyways, did you see the new Funko? Which new Funko are we talking about? Let us know, Raymond. And someone else said, I don't understand the hate for Jar Jar. And when I was a kid, I didn't understand the hate for Jar Jar. Jar Jar was cool. Jar Jar, for me, Jar Jar was just another character in Star Wars. He was nothing. Like, nothing about Jar Jar made me hate anything in Star Wars. For me, he was just another character. And it wasn't until I got older that I was like, holy smokes. Like, that was crazy. They were coming out with an
anniversary. It feels like the media back then billed him as the next Chewbacca. So they were expecting, like, Chewbacca, but, like, in fish lizard form or something.
They're coming out with an Episode 1 Funko. If Jar Jar's a Funko, but I'm trying to behave myself when it comes to Funko though, because yeah, it's bad. Because if you start buying Funko, it's over. Oh my gosh, Crystal Kyber is in the house. Here she is. If you go check out her YouTube channel, she puts out a lot of great stuff. She did a video about the similarities between Avatar, Last Airbender, and Star Wars, and it was pretty good. It was pretty. There was stuff in there that I was like, "What?" So yeah, go check out Crystal Kyber's page. And I feel bad because she's invited me twice to her apartment where they do like she has movie nights there. They have a theater, and they've done Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and I couldn't make it to either of them. So I feel really bad. But she keeps inviting me, and I promise we're gonna do it one time. Feels like forever since I've seen you both. Oh, it's been a while, but we found some time tonight to party. So we wanted Jar Jar to be a Sith who fought with I want to find the person who started the whole Jar Jar was the Sith. Like, you know, you're always invited, James. And so David, next time Crystal has a party, has a watch party, let's go. Come over here. We'll all go to her apartment in downtown LA.
Yeah, I mean, I got a second job, so I might be able to pay for that plane ticket from South Texas to Southern California. So yeah.
But yeah, thank you, Crystal. Thank you. Like I said, everybody, go check out her page. Go follow her on Instagram. She puts out a lot of good stuff, a lot of great stuff. And hopefully, I think her and I talked. We're gonna try to collaborate sometime. We're talking about it, so I'm excited for that. But yeah, the Jar Jar Sith the whole time. No, who started it?
I think it was maybe a poster, and somebody like saw like shadows in a robe or something and drew like Jar Jar's head in it. It looked like it fit or something. I think that's maybe the origin, and then people just ran with it.
I love how every time a new poster came out for the new sequel trilogy,
yeah.
Somebody always drew Jar Jar's face, and it was the funniest thing. Like The Last Jedi, somebody flipped it upside down, like, look, it's Jar Jar, and they like drew it.
Ahmed Best also on Instagram, he put a hashtag of Darth Jar Jar as well.
Oh no, he's in on it. He you know, he's probably the one who started it. But so here's the funny thing. In the episode one making of, George Lucas says Jar Jar is the key to all this. All right. You know why he says that, right?
He's because he gave the emergency powers to Palpatine.
I've heard people say that too. Like, that's why. But no, the context is they're talking about the visual effects that they're going to be doing for the movie. And he says Jar Jar is the key to all of this.
Yeah, like, not story, but the effects. Yeah.
This has to work. That is the quote, and it's so, and people misquote it. I've had friends, James, George Lucas himself said Jar Jar is the key, and I'm like oh my, and I have to try to tell people no, he's literally talking about the visual effects for, and I went back and rewatched it, the making, which by the way, that's probably the best making of documentary there is. The beginning,
it's called The Beginning, right?
Yeah, The Beginning, and it's on Star Wars YouTube, by the way. The whole thing is on there.
Yeah,
and to hear John Knoll say, "So yeah, we're having we're having to create the dust particles for the pod racing, the explosions, and we really don't know how to do that." He just tells George Lucas, "I have no idea how we're doing this." And that
encompasses and encapsulates what George Lucas's mentality was for all of Star Wars, because they constantly told him, "We cannot do this." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Yes, you will do this." He basically Jedi mind tricked them.
Yeah.
And told him, go back and do it. Just do it. Yeah.
It's crazy how, even though, you know, George Lucas, you know, it's new technology and everything, the technology, as they say, quote unquote, caught up with him for the prequels, it's still amazing. With each of the three movies, he was still he literally pushed the envelope further, to where they ran into more troubles with each new movie they were making for George Lucas, because his brain was saying, what if we did this? And then they were like, we can't do that. He goes, we're doing it. And you get the pod racing sequence that looks to this day amazing. And then George Lucas was like, hey, what if we shot completely on digital cameras? And everybody said, that's impossible. And he said, watch this. That every movie today, almost 95% of those movies are all filmed digitally. Because George Lucas was like, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, back in 2001, that really confused me, how people were saying, is it going to work if you use a digital camera? It's like, why wouldn't it work? What's the problem? I didn't get it. I did not get why people thought, oh, the film might not. It's like, well, it's digital. I mean, you can see the video for yourself on the screen. It works. All you got to do is project it. I mean, you have to do the transfer from digital to film. Mm-hmm. Maybe that might not look good, but I'm pretty sure they made sure that was going to work. And then, of course, at that time, digital projection wasn't as prolific as it is now. That's all you have now is digital projectors. Yeah.
For me, I think it's wild what George Lucas did technically for those three movies, and it's wild. It's absolutely wild. And somebody did say the prequel trilogy would have benefited. Tim said it. What am I saying? Someone. Tim says the prequel trilogy would have benefited from using less CGI and more practical effects. That is true. But I did hear something from somebody in the making of Star Wars. They said the most miniatures and models they've ever made for a movie was The Phantom Menace. And I thought that was insane. They said, sure, there's a lot of visual effects, but there's also a ton of miniatures and models that they made for that movie.
But see, I think, being the outsider fan that I am in South Texas, that seems a little misleading because you can see all the visual effects that they did. I mean, just because they made the actual pods doesn't mean that they used them in the pod race. You know, they still created those elements digitally, and that's how we got the pods. But they did make them, and they did get destroyed, most of them, during that sandstorm. Which happens once every 50, 80 years or whatever.
It was a rainstorm.
Rainstorm. Yeah.
In case you don't know, the first AD on A New Hope said the first morning in Tunisia, Africa, he said, we wake up in the morning and he goes, and the rain is going sideways across the street.
That's end of times.
Yeah.
If you're in the desert and you see that, you're like, what?
Oh, You're like, I was hoping for water, but I didn't expect, you know, God to show up and completely, you know. When do we get real life pods? I hope soon. No, I'm just kidding. Have you seen people drive regular cars? You expect them to get pod racers? Like, good grief. But yeah, it's just, I like the look of episode one more than the other prequels, because with episode one, there were still things they built for it. Like even the models, like when you see the opening, the Jedi cruiser fly by the camera at the beginning of the movie, like that's a model. And it's like, okay, there's digital effects. Yeah, but that's a model. The Trade Federation, you know, ship is a model, and it looks really, really cool. And it's just little things like that they did for episode one that I appreciate. And then you get to episode two and Lucas was like, nah, man, we're not building any of that stuff. When Anakin crashed into the ship, it seemed like it was a miniature ship that went across the table. Isn't that how they did it, though? I'm just kidding. I remember there's a, in the making of it, they're trying to blow up one of the pod racers, and they literally built a model, and they shaking it, and they blew it up and everything. And, yeah.
So I'm actually glad you brought up George Lucas. So there was something that was put out that I believe on a Screen Thrill. I think they're accurate here, but I took a screenshot on my phone of it. I'll put it up on the video here. So this says George Lucas named richest celebrity in the world by Forbes. So yep. He's number one at $5.5 billion, followed by Steven Spielberg at $4.8 billion, then Michael Jordan at $3.2 billion. So it's like, you ask yourself, how is this possible? How is it that when he sold Star Wars, he donated all the money to charity? Well, I got to give credit to my buddy Carl, who told me this years and years ago, which it didn't really make a lot of sense then, and it kind of doesn't make a lot of sense now. But when he sold Star Wars to Disney, he was not only given that cash, but he was also given stock. So I think he's the largest, he has the most stock out of any one person in Disney. Whoa. And that's what they're factoring in as well to his fortune that he made from the original trilogy. But yeah, that's kind of crazy. So in essence, it's like George Lucas sold Star Wars, but he's almost like, he's one of the bigger owners of Disney, so it's almost like he sold it to himself.
Yeah, which is a little weird that was allowed to happen. But yeah, I was expecting, and just so y'all know, Taylor Swift is like number 9, all right, on this list. As big as she is,
yeah,
she has nothing on George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars. And see, I had no idea that he's literally the richest celebrity in the world. And yeah. Oh yep, Tim did it. Tim got it. How does he make his money? Merchandising. Man.
But he sold that to Disney too. He doesn't own it anymore. It's just all the Kenner stuff he made his money off of.
Jeez, he made so much money.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. That's insane.
But yeah, George Lucas, in case y'all didn't know, is the richest celebrity in the world right now. And I think the reason Steven Spielberg is also so high up is because of Star Wars. I'm just kidding. But I think Steven Spielberg for a while there was getting like $20 million a year by George Lucas, because they made a bet about which movie was going to make more money.
Which is like $5 to you and me.
Yeah. But in case you don't know, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg made a bet. George Lucas thought Close Encounters was going to make the most money because he visited the set and he saw how huge it was. And he was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the biggest movie of all time. Steven Spielberg said, no, Star Wars is going to be the biggest movie of all time. And so they made a bet of whose movie would make the most. Steven Spielberg won because Star Wars made a lot of money. And then he received millions of dollars each year because of that bet. So that is a true story.
And from all accounts, Lucas is a pretty cool guy to know in person. Like when he does all these interviews, he's kind of like uptight, kind of wooden. But when you get to know him behind the scenes, He's hilarious. And he kind of showed some of that when he did that little skit on with Seth Green.
Yeah.
Where they talk about Mara Jade. Yeah. So you see a little bit of that playfulness. And there's a video. I think we've spoken about it before, but there's a video of him, I think, in Chicago. I think it's Chicago. He's getting out of like a black SUV and he has like his security help him out like he's drunk or something. And there's a lot of people like looking for an autograph. And of course, it's probably like the autograph seekers out there that knew he was there. And like people that aren't like fans that are just going to keep it. They're going to try and make money off his autograph. So he walks out and he acts like he needs help to get through the lobby doors of his hotel he's staying at. So once he gets through the rotating door with help, he's like kind of like walking shakily. And then he just like gathers himself and just walks straight to his room.
I remember when I first saw that video, it scared me because I was like, oh my gosh, what happened to George Lucas? And then when he got into the, I was like, oh, what a jerk. That is the funniest thing I've ever seen. he trolled all of them there. Nobody bugged him because they all were like, oh, is he okay? And he's
just, and there's also another YouTube video where he's out in Chicago again, and he shows up randomly behind a guy like talking about the architecture or buildings or whatever in Chicago, and he just shows up and he sees the camera. He's like, "Oh man!" And then he just like fast walks right by. But it's totally George Lucas.
Can you imagine? Like you're in editing and you're just like, "Was that? No." And then you rewind it back. You're like, "That was George Lucas." Just walking right behind me like nothing. That's a great video. But anyways, man, we have 25 people watching us right now. I mean, mind you, we're gonna have, I don't know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's pretty cool. Thank y'all so much for watching us, because means the world to us that you're watching us.
It's a Friday night.
Everyone's at home. Hey, guess what book I read? Patrons, I bought myself a book, Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know the history, but in case you don't know the history, this book was written by Alan Dean Foster, who also wrote the novel Star Wars, which they say was written by George Lucas, but it was actually, but anyways, it's a story that George Lucas said, if I can't do the sequels that I want to do, I'm gonna have to do a low budget Star Wars movie after A New Hope. So this story is literally Luke and Leia on a planet looking for a kyber crystal, and Harrison Ford, you know, Han Solo's not there because Harrison Ford had signed the deal, so he's not even mentioned hardly in the book. And it's just about Leia and Luke on this planet, and it's honestly fun because it feels like they could easily do like a show about this, like if like a cartoon of them on this planet. But it's weird because we all know, I mean, now we do, but it's like Luke and Leia are siblings, but in the book there's a lot of moments where he's like, he looked at her for this long, had to look away really quickly, and when she held him, you know, he had this design. I was like, oh, that's kind of weird, because George Lucas didn't ever intend for them to be siblings. So it's a good read. It's interesting. It kind of ends abruptly. Feels like he didn't know how to end it, so he's like, that's how it ends. But there's a few force powers that were used that I said, oh, that's interesting. Never seen that before. So, if you ever want to give it a chance, go for it. Yeah, Splinter of the Mind's Eye. James needs to give George beard trimming tips. Yeah, I agree. Well, he doesn't live in LA, so he probably, where does he live? He lives in Chicago mostly, or
I think he's going to be living in LA. I'm pretty sure he has a house there. Yeah. His museum under construction. It's almost completely finished. It's almost completely complete.
It's almost fully operational.
Yeah. It looks like a big shoe. And I saw some people talk about, I can't wait to go and see all the Star Wars stuff. I don't think there's going to be a lot of Star Wars stuff.
In case y'all don't know, George Lucas is a huge film history buff, and he has a lot of movie memorabilia that he purchased over the years. So that's mainly what this museum is going to be.
Yeah.
I guess when you're the wealthiest celebrity in the world, you can buy whatever you can buy whatever you want. Nope. Oh, I thought I lost you.
Nope, I'm still here.
Nope. All right, what else we got today, or have we bored everybody enough?
One thing that I don't think we've ever mentioned here, which was news a while back, was that HasLab is also going to announce their new project on May 4th. Mm-hmm. So not only Tales of the Empire, we're going to get the HasLab announcement, I believe. And I really haven't seen much news on that. So kind of wondering now if that's even still going to happen. But I think it is. It's going to be in regards to the... I think it's the TWC line, so it's going to be probably something original trilogy.
Ooh,
I think those are the rumors. Rumors in the past have been something like the Ewok Village, possibly. Something kind of classic like that. I know they had the Rancor at one point, but I don't think it made funding, and it didn't get fully backed. But at the end of this year, we're going to get the Ghost shipped to us. And Nathan Shank won the giveaway for that.
Woohoo! You know what would be a really cool toy, though? Is the stairwell in Empire Strikes Back, where Vader and Luke fight. Like, have the steps lighting up, Vader up
Bespin
here.
Bespin playset?
Yes.
And you could put Rey in the hallway?
Right? I'm still mad at J.J. Abrams for not showing the fight. Like, come on, man. But anyways.
Yeah.
I'm going to Disneyland May 2nd for Star Wars night.
The other big news is Star Tours opened up today with the new experiences, primarily Ahsoka, Andor. And I heard some pretty good reviews
Mando
on Instagram today. Yeah, Mando. Yep, for sure. And there's some couple of new items you can buy. I know there's like a sweater or like a jacket that you wanted?
I can't find that online, but I think, they're selling a Star Tours jacket now, and which is fun. Star Tours is so much fun. There was one night, my wife's younger sibling was in town, and her and I went on the ride for like the last like 20 minutes. We just kept going back on, because at the end of the night, everyone's usually gone in Disneyland. So we were able just to, we did that one a lot. It was so much fun.
Yeah, this last time I went to Disney World, I was there with Colin and Craig, and we rode Star Tours a total of 12 times.
Jeez, it's a fun ride.
Because there was no line, so we might as well just keep on doing it. And it was a lot of fun. Maybe my favorite ride there. Maybe the best ride experience, I think.
I still have to go with Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, to me, the Rise of the Resistance, the last part is the best part, and it's so short, you know?
Yeah, but...
I want to ride that the whole time. Can you imagine that, taking an elevator or something up, like, 50 stories or so, and it's just... Or maybe it doesn't have to be that high, it just drops you, and almost like that ride you see at every theme park where your legs dangle, and it's like an elevator thing, and you can see the people drop, and it, like, slowly pumps them up and then drops them, and then there's a big drop. I would do that if it was covered and you had a screen and it was like Star Tours.
Well,
that would be awesome.
They have the Guardians of the Galaxy breakout there at California Adventure, which is what you just described. Yeah, you're in the screen, you go up and down.
That's
and
too short, too, man.
There's the shit.
The wait for that's like 3 hours, and then the ride total length is like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's really short. I don't ride that ride anymore. It scares me. I don't like the feeling of going up and going down, going up. It's not a fun feeling. So
all right.
I know. Well, right? See, a little more about me y'all didn't know. But anyway, sorry.
A little more insight into James's psyche.
Which is weird.
So yeah, I think that's pretty much all the news. Like I said at the beginning, our Bad Batch coverage will take place next week for these last couple of episodes that just aired. It's getting dark, and only a few more episodes till the grand finale at the end of this month. So, look out for that, definitely. And also, if you want to follow us, if you're not following us, I think everyone that's watching us are following us everywhere on social media, Instagram, Star Wars Stuff Pod, X Twitter at Stuff Pod. We're on Threads at Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Of course, we'd love for you to support us on Patreon. James and I try and do some Patreon daily podcasts where James gets even more relaxed and we find out more about James's inner workings of his mind. We're on TikTok. You can email us at StarWarsStuffPodcast@gmail.com. Of course, we're on Facebook. We have a group. We have a page. And if you listen to us on whatever listening app for podcasts, Apple, Spotify, 5 stars, write us a review, a nice review. But the unnice ones are pretty hilarious to read. But I don't know. I guess that's for my own entertainment. But
Before we go, Zach, yes, you do have to pay for Genie Plus at Disneyland. That's the new Fast Pass. And just wanted to clear that up. That, yeah, you have to pay for it in America. Anyways.
Yeah, and thank you to everyone in chat here.
Yes, thank you so much.
Bender, Maka, Ray. I hope you're feeling better, Ray. I know he injured his ankle.
Oh, no.
And I asked him to be on the podcast tonight, but I think he was probably in bed or something. Zach, of course, in Japan. Bender on YouTube.
Thank you so much.
Coach Craig. Who else was here?
And Crystal.
General Kenobi's Bunker.
And Crystal Kyber was also on.
Yes, Crystal Kyber. It's nice to see you on. And Tim Seitz, of course, our meme lord on Facebook. He drops so many different posts for Star Wars all around the galaxy.
The best. Yep. And may the Force be with you a long time. Thanks. And thank you. Thank you, Bender. Yeah, we'll try to. Yeah, we'll be on. We'll be on again. Don't worry.
Yeah, our streams have been kind of all over the place. Traditionally, we do Tuesdays, Thursdays, and then Wednesdays is the Bad Batch review. But I think it got kind of busy. It got kind of busy. If you're watching video, you saw what James is holding up. It's a lady's Schick razor. What are you doing with the lady's razor, James?
I love this thing, though.
I don't know. Not so deep cut there, but...
All right, yeah. Guys, we're getting pun
not intended.
Thank you. Thank y'all so much for listening. And we'll be back again with another awesome topic. And I guess may the Force be with you.